February 11, 2021, FBI investigates the counterintelligence aspects of the Capitol riot. FBI probing if foreign governments, groups funded extremists who helped execute Capitol attack. Washington, the FBI is investigating whether foreign governments, organizations or individuals provided financial support to extremists who helped plan and execute the January 6 attack on the Capitol, one current and one former FBI official told NBC News. As part of the investigation, the Bureau is examining payments of $500,000 in Bitcoin, apparently by a French national, to key figures and groups in the alt-right before the riot, the sources said. Those payments were documented and posted on the web this week by a company that analyzes cryptocurrency transfers. Payments of Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency, can be traced because they are documented on a public ledger. Separately, a joint threat assessment issued this week by the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security and various other federal and DC area police agencies noted that since the January 6 riot, Russian, Iranian, and Chinese influence actors have seized the opportunity to amplify narratives in furtherance of their policy interest amid the presidential transition. Russian state and proxy media outlets have amplified themes related to the violent and chaotic nature of the Capitol Hill incident, impeachment of President Trump, and social media censorship, the unclassified intelligence report said. In at least one instance, a Russian proxy claimed that Antifa members disguised themselves as supporters of President Trump and were responsible for storming the Capitol building. Chinese media, meanwhile, have seized the story to denigrate U.S. democratic governance, casting the United States as broadly in decline, and to justify China's crackdown on protesters in Hong Kong. The examination of possible foreign influence related to the Capitol riot, which involves the FBI's counterintelligence division, comes after years of what current and former FBI officials say is mounting evidence that Russia and other foreign adversaries have sought to secretly support political extremists on the far right and far left. Law enforcement officials and terrorism experts say there has long been a mutual affection between Western white supremacists and the Russian government, as two scholars put it in a February paper on the Just Security website. Some senators were concerned enough about the issue that they inserted a requirement in the 2021 defense bill that the Pentagon report to Congress on the extent of Russian support for racially and ethnically motivated violent extremist groups and networks in Europe and the United States, and what can be done to counter it. The current FBI official told NBC News that the Bureau did not necessarily suspect Russian involvement in the Bitcoin transfers, which appear to have been made by a French computer programmer who died by suicide on December 8 after triggering the transfers, according to French media. But the cryptocurrency payments prompted the FBI to examine whether any of the money was used to fund illegal acts, which, if true, raises the possibility of money laundering and conspiracy charges, the FBI official said. On December 8, Chainalysis reported, the donor sent 28.15 BTC, worth about $522,000 at the time of transfer, to 22 separate addresses, many of which belong to far-right activists. The Chainalysis blog post, first highlighted by Yahoo News, said far-right podcaster Nick Fuentes received the most money, 13.5 BTC, worth approximately $250,000. Fuentes, who spoke at pro-Trump rallies last year in Michigan and Washington, D.C., told the ProPublica news organization that he was at the Stop the Steal rally on Wednesday but didn't follow the mob into the Capitol. One group of Fuentes supporters, which calls itself the Growiper Army, was filmed running through the Capitol carrying a large blue flag with the America First logo, ProPublica reported. We're looking at and treating this just like a significant international counterterrorism or counterintelligence operation, Michael Sherwin, the U.S. attorney in D.C., said at a news briefing last week. We're looking at everything, money, travel records, looking at disposition, movement, communication records. Feds need to tell us a lot more about the Capitol riot investigation, opinion. Perhaps the most notable part of the update was who wasn't giving it. The top officials from Justice and the FBI, Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen and Director Christopher Wray weren't there. Nor were other senior officials from relevant agencies like the Department of Homeland Security. Instead, we saw the assistant director in charge of the FBI's Washington office, Steve D'Anguiano, and the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, Michael Sherwin. While these two officials are no doubt the ones most closely monitoring the investigations into the insurrection, the absence of their bosses, or even their deputies, was unexpected, given the magnitude of the attack. The news conference focused almost exclusively on the investigation into the attack, on the crime solving. It is, of course, the Justice Department's job to gather evidence, track down suspects and bring perpetrators to justice. We learned from D'Anguiano that the FBI was treating the Capitol attack the same way it would an international terrorist incident, and that it had opened 170 subject files, referring to individuals identified as persons who potentially committed crimes, and of those has charged more than 70 individuals. Sherwin emphasized that each perpetrator will be charged with the most severe crime warranted, including and up to seditious conspiracy. But both officials appeared to skirt around explaining what federal law enforcement knew and did before that day's Trump rally and the attack that followed it, in particular how the feds had coordinated with other agencies to prepare for trouble. Nor did they mention the threat bulletin now issued to all 50 states warning of armed protests planned at every state's capital and in Washington in the days leading up to the inauguration on January 20. Goal number 2, stop misinformation and conspiracy theories by offering facts. Many Americans are wondering how this attack was allowed to happen. Since 9/11, law enforcement has greatly increased its abilities to sniff out and disrupt developing terrorism plots. The FBI most recently thwarted an apparent plan by militia groups to kidnap and kill the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, in October. It is hard to understand how, particularly in light of the many threats of violence made openly by pro-Trump groups and individuals on social media, the FBI and its law enforcement partners were not better prepared for what took place. Unfortunately, neither D'Anguiano nor Sherwin offered much in the way of explanation. To be sure, law enforcement is often unable to comment on things that might compromise ongoing investigations. But if that is the case, they normally just say that. On Tuesday, however, D'Anguiano puzzlingly acknowledged that the FBI had information from its Norfolk field office indicating plans for violence at the Capitol. By not filling in these gaps, or even stating clearly that the FBI was reviewing all of the intelligence that was known beforehand, the officials invited more speculation about whether the government's flat-footed response to the Capitol assault was caused by negligence or, far worse, an intentional intelligence failure. They missed an opportunity to be as robust as possible in laying out how law enforcement approached this highly publicized rally and potentially contributed to a further erosion of trust in law enforcement and the proliferation of unfounded conspiracy theories. Goal number 3, deter future violence by sending a strong message. Many members of the Capitol mob were undoubtedly watching the news conference to find out what the FBI knew. On this front, both officials sent a clear message that they would use every resource at their disposal to identify and prosecute everyone who attacked the seat of our democracy. Make no mistake, the people who planned and participated in this atrocity will get a knock on their doors from the FBI soon enough. But the domestic terror threat is not limited to that one mob. The very fact that the FBI has issued a threat bulletin to all 50 states reveals that the depraved ideology based on the lie about the rigged election spreads far and deep. But neither D'Anguiano nor Sherwin addressed this future threat, issued a warning to anyone planning violence, or even referred to the people involved in this violence as domestic terrorists. This may be because they have seen how the president reacts when such language is used against his defenders and allies. After all, neither the FBI nor the DOJ can afford, in this critical moment, to lose their leadership because Trump decided to fire them. Unfortunately, if that fear is what resulted in the gaps in Tuesday's remarks, it may embolden the very people they are protecting us against. Capital Riot Defendants Shared History of Financial Problems, WaPo. 1. Many of the Capital Riot defendants have something in common, a history of financial difficulties. 2. A Washington Post analysis found that a substantial number of defendants had money woes. 3. The documented financial problems include bankruptcies, debt, foreclosures, and unpaid taxes. 4. Visit the business section of Insider for more stories. The more than 240 defendants charged in the January 6 insurrection on the Capitol siege came to Washington, D.C., from around the United States and from all walks of life, but something in common, a history of financial difficulties. A new Washington Post analysis of court records and financial documents found that out of 125 defendants who had publicly available financial information, nearly 60% had filed for bankruptcy, had unpaid tax bills and other debts, been sued for unpaid debts, or faced losing their homes through eviction or foreclosure. The Post also found that among that group, the bankruptcy rate was 18%, almost double the national average. Read more, how Trump's Senate trial could end with a vote to ban him from ever holding federal office again and kill any chances of a 2024 run. Among them were some of the most infamous accused rioters who have become faces of the insurrection. Jenna Ryan, the Texas real estate agent charged with two misdemeanors in connection with Capitol insurrection who flew to Washington, D.C. on a private jet, had filed for bankruptcy in 2012, almost lost her home before then, and had a history of unpaid federal taxes. Ryan, who was also banned from PayPal after trying to raise funds for her legal defense on the platform, told the Post that she now fully regrets her participation in the riots and says she bought into a lie. Riley June Williams, the 22-year-old Pennsylvania woman accused of being involved in the theft of a laptop from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office, had herself filed for bankruptcy when she was just a child, according to the Post. And Ashley Babbitt, who was shot and killed by law enforcement during the insurrection, had been hit with a $23,000 judgment from a lender a few years prior. Research shows that low-income people with lower levels of education are not necessarily more likely to fall into extremist movements, but being saddled with debt or other struggles can make some feel as if they have nothing left to lose. The Capitol insurrection further displays how outwardly successful and educated people in society's mainstream can fall into anti-government movements. Those arrested so far include people associated with extremist groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, but also people who had never before been charged with a federal crime or had a connection to those movements. The rise of domestic right-wing extremism and the QAnon conspiracy theory haven't just targeted low-income or uneducated people, however, but have swept up many well-off, college-educated professionals, too. One researcher interviewed by the Post said that middle-class and educated people may be more likely to be lured into extremism when they feel their position in society being jeopardized or threatened. Ryan, for example, told the Post that while she had voted for Trump in 2016, she didn't become politically engaged until 2020, when she started consuming right-wing media like The Gateway Pundit, InfoWars, and Steve Bannon's War Room podcast, and fell down the rabbit hole of the QAnon conspiracy.